You are listening to Comedy Store Wrestling.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the world famous Comedy Store here in Hollywood, California for another episode of Comedy Store Wrestling. My name is Eddie Torres, and with me as always, across the way, the inappropriate one, Earl Skakel.
What's up?
Earl Skakel, which one day I'm going to be waking up to the news of comedian Earl Skakel accidentally murders professional wrestler at XPW.
I was involved in an angle, unwillingly.
What happened, Earl? Tell me what happened. I saw clips. Somebody sent me a clip of Masada on fire, and then I just messaged you, and you had a story.
Well, it was called XPW California 2 at the Derby in Pomona, and I must give a shout-out to Rob Black, a controversial figure in the world of indie wrestling. He's done some angles that a little interesting. He always gives me carte blanche, and I was sitting with him in the gorilla position of sorts, I guess, for XPW.
Which is the parking lot of the Pomona.
It kind of is, to be honest with you. But they do a pro, you know, they stream it, I think, on Fight TV.
Yeah.
So it's actually pretty professional for XPW. And they had a deathmatch tournament, 16 contestants, including Dirty Ron McDonald, who is back in the good graces of the indie scene in L.A., or Pomona. They can't get the permits for L.A. And so I guess earlier in the day, a ring worker was supposed to get a very particular kind of lighter fluid for a fire stunt in the Fatal 4-Way. And about 10 minutes before the match, my buddy The Body and Rob Black come up to me and go, hey, would you mind going to any liquor store around here and getting us some lighter fluid? And I'm like, I don't really think that's how it's supposed to be done. Like, I have friends of mine who are stuntmen, and it's a very particular kind of lighter fluid that you're supposed to get. And they're like, just get some Zippo fluid. And I'm like, I don't think that's a good idea. And they're like, just get it. So I go to 7-Eleven down the street in Pomona. They didn't have it. The guy's like, oh, yeah, stuff you want at the liquor store across the street. So I go to the liquor store, and I'm like, this is a weird request. I need something that's going to help set someone on fire, but it's got to be safe. And he's like, oh, we got the stuff. And so he gives me a black container with something called Zippo.
Yeah, some of the old Zippo lighters.
Yes, I ran backstage, and I first showed it to Schlack, who's like one of the current hot deathmatch tournament guys. He's like, yeah, I think this will work. And then I showed it to Rob Black, and he looks at me and goes, well, I guess this will do. And so Masada was supposed to blow fireballs at his opponents, and the first two went fine. Although they looked a little close to his face and chest. I'm like, okay, maybe this is the stuff. And then on the third one, it's just his whole face and upper body just were on fire. And
I mean, I don't mean to laugh. That sucks.
But let me tell
you,
the videos don't do justice what I saw live. He was on fire.
Yeah.
And they didn't. Really, I don't think they were prepared for that, or maybe they were, and the guys who were in charge of being prepared weren't given orders, like, hey, have a fire extinguisher ready in case it goes wrong.
Yeah, they hit him with the fire extinguisher after he was, out.
Yeah, I think at one point a ring worker threw what looked like sand on him or some kind of powdery something to, you know, suffocate the flames, and that didn't work. And then he just basically got himself, he didn't roll, he just
whacked it off of himself.
And
the
producer was like, we gotta stop the show. And I don't think Rob Black would mind me saying this. He was like, he'll be all right.
It is Masada, he is a psycho, but yeah.
It was, and his wife or girlfriend, I'm not sure, what is the relationship, was standing right next to me going, I told him not to do the goddamn fire stunt. So when he gets back there, he's clearly a little dazed because he continued the match.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's yelling at him. Like, I told you not to do that. You know, it's like, I think this conversation should wait a second.
Yeah, give him a minute to cool off, literally.
Yeah. I mean, and then they took him to a hospital, and I haven't heard how he
What happened? I'm assuming second degree burns or something.
Well, that wasn't the worst thing of the night.
Oh, boy.
They have this 21-year-old kid. He's like a hillbilly character. And everyone told him not to do this. There's something made in Japan. They're not ninja stars, but they're like the size of a half dollar, and they have all these baby nails in them. And he got them impaled in his head.
Oh.
And he couldn't get them out. So Rob Black looks at me and goes, "Hey, do you want to try and get them out?" I'm like, "I don't think I'm really qualified." And he's like, "Oh, no, do it. And just make sure you get it on film."
Oh, my God.
Me and this other kid are like trying to twist. They were impaled on his head. and we couldn't do it. And then one of the bigger wrestlers was like, "I'll do it. It might hurt, though." And he got them out. And it's insane. Like, it's a palate.
It sounds like this event takes place at a North Korean military camp.
It's
the most insane thing. Somebody accidentally got lit on fire, then accidentally got ninja stars stuck in their head. I mean, it seems like a lot of accidents.
I think they're definitely, I've said this before, it's like ECW with no budget. And this 21-year-old kid was like, no, this is great. And then someone goes, "Hey, here's a piece of cake. Why don't you eat it when the blood starts gushing out of your head and it'll fall on the cake and it'll be a great viral video." So someone gives him a piece of cake. And he starts eating it. I had to leave the room. I got sick to my stomach.
I haven't seen it in my feed yet, so I don't know how viral. I mean, the only viral I imagine is going to be the infection that he gets from this.
Well, if you go on Twitter, the Masada footage is there.
Yeah, the Masada footage.
Yeah, I saw that, and that was wild because he was definitely not expecting that to happen.
No.
Well,
you have inside. You're inside over there.
I'm a mole.
Can you find out what their insurance policy covers? I'm just curious for my own laughter.
What is their maximum?
Like, at what point does a wrestler get told we can't cover that?
But I don't.
At the very beginning, by the way.
I don't think these guys care. Like,
oh, I'm sure they don't care, but there must be. They can't be allowed to do anything in a venue without the insurance.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, well, this one I forgot to say, and I know we don't cover deathmatch stuff a lot, so I won't take up too much time with this, but it was like the WCW War Games where they had two rings.
Mm, yeah, I saw that.
And, one ring is just a normal ring, I suppose, and then the other ring is all barbed wire. Like, not like one strand barbed wire and then the rest ropes. It was all barbed wire. And so it was kind of creative how they would go to that ring for a minute, tease a big spot, and then go to the other ring. And I'm not even talking about the ladder stunt, which was the most insane thing I've ever seen. Like, it was pretty funny. A huge ladder. Like, I would guess a 20-foot ladder.
Okay.
And so Schlack and his opponent are at the top. And it was kind of funny because the ladder was so tall. You know, they're doing the ladder match. You got to take the belt off the row. And the ladder was literally so tall that the strap was resting on top of the ladder. Like, there was, they didn't have to, go. It was just there.
Yeah.
So at one point, they both fall down, which I don't think was planned because it's, Schlack's got to be 240, 250. Drake Younger, I think is his name. He's the opponent. He's probably 240. And so then Schlack gets back up there, and they're in the barbed wire ring. And they had set up two tables side by side with a pane of glass on top of it. And so Drake tips over Schlack, and he takes the belt and falls onto the, two tables that look like this, but with a huge pane of glass. And when he went backstage, you could not see his back. It was so bloody. And he was happy. He was like, "That was a great stunt, thanks."
Oh, God.
So it was like, I know it's not for everyone. And I only go when XPW is here, which is, I think, once every 3 months. But I'm assuming they have good insurance because they keep going back to the Derby and Pomona.
The way I feel, the way I think, I'm not saying this is how it is. I'm just going off of experience from other indie shows, including some that I've put on myself. I'm assuming it's minimum insurance, and Rob Black is just like, "Go to the hospital and just send me the bill, whatever it is." You know what I mean? And he covers it.
I mean, it's fascinating to be back there and see how he's like the Vince McMahon or whatever you want to call it of XPW, and how he produces the show. I mean, it's organized. Like the producers, like talking to the, they have, I think, four camera guys with handhelds, and it was like, okay, get Masada when he's going up the ladder, and angle two, and get the body out of the shot. Like it's very professional in that regard. But you know, there are some moments when I definitely had to look away. I mean, it's I don't imagine anyone else approaching XPW in terms of like the violence. I mean, have you seen?
Yeah. I mean, the closest I've seen maybe Circle Six. That they're brand new. They're kind of, you know, getting their feet wet in that world. But they are, you know, they've been putting on some ridiculous. Like they'll fill up the entire ring with light tubes instead of ropes.
Right.
That kind of shit. You know, or the door with the cans cut in half. Yeah. You know, that
it's,
kind of
spot. That's an XPW staple. The yeah. door with the cans.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's all, for me, it's all entertainment. I can handle a little bit of it, but when blood starts gushing in the air, I'm out. Like, I can't, I don't want to get anyone's diseases.
Well, and the women go hard, too. You think the women, okay, this is the humor spots, or, you know, maybe just, you know, a little eye candy. No, they have full-on, they didn't have any this time around, but, you know, Sage Sen, who is their, in the storyline, they say she is Supreme's real-life daughter, and Supreme, if you know anything about death matches in California, was like the king. She goes hard, bleeds. There's a couple other. I know Taya was the XPW first female champion, but she, although she did do some pretty wacky spots, I'm assuming she is like, hey, I'll do this and that, but I'm not being put through a pane of glass.
Yeah, no. Well, that's cool. please don't kill any wrestlers.
No. I mean, listen, thank you to Rob Black. You know, it's a family. You know, you see the same people. I know you probably, you know, with PC Ultra, it's very family. Like, hey, dude, what's happening?
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone sits in the same seats. The referees are, you know, the same group. And so it is kind of a, you know, for one night every 3 months, I could do it.
Okay. Okay, I'll eventually make it to one of them.
Yes.
I did not go. I was busy either way, but I was that same night was PCW Ultra. So I had stuff going on. So I was like, you know what? I had friends in town. Like, I'm just not going to go to either, because if I go to XPW, then I'm going to be pissing off PCW for going to XPW. Like, you know, it's weird indie politics that happen with promoters here. But
I do feel bad. The Sheik did invite me. I'm like, oh, man, like, you know, because I had a fun time with you at the last one. I'm like,
yeah.
I guess I'm more family feeling with XPW just because I know everyone. And
yeah.
John, would you go with me and Eddie? If I, you got to go with me to an XPW show.
If I go, I need you there as backup so we can leave if we have to.
We'll be treated like royalty.
I mean, what does that entail? Like, can they guarantee I'm not going to have a fire like thrown at me, or I'm not gonna have blood on me?
You may be asked at one point to go get some weapons from the local hardware store.
Yeah, I'm probably
store.
Gonna pass on that because I think you are now
well, I might be wanted. Sued.
I mean, you're considered what I would call an accomplice.
Well, I paid cash.
Like the
I definitely paid cash for the Zippo fluid.
I mean,
I know nothing, Rob.
The court documents will show you as an accomplice.
Yeah, right.
Well, I mean, it's just fun, like, you know. I think I went home and watched Rampage, which is, you know, was great. But, you know, it's like every now and then you need a little, like...
Something different.
It's so over-the-top violent.
Yeah.
Okay. That, you know, I had a good time. And, you know, you guys know me. I'm a fan of respect. And, like, from the moment I walk in, it's like, oh, Earl, just go right in the back. So it's neat for me to be basically backstage... feeling the weapons as they make them, and like baseball bats with actual barbed wire. Like,
jeez.
You know, I'm not going to get that at AEW or WWE.
No, definitely not.
WWE, they sent me to the Make-A-Wish Foundation section.
They took one look at you. They're like, yeah, put him with the...
This kid's pretty big, but we'll put him in there. But
you showed up with the beanie.
did you see the one video of my friend who was like sitting? You couldn't get a worse seat than what my friend had. I don't know how he spotted me, but he got me on. He's like, let's play spot Earl Skakel in the crowd. And like,
I did that with Eddie when Eddie. So at one point, not to get back into WrestleMania, but my dad and Eddie were sitting together, and I was up with Sophie in the booth, and they, I guess someone showed Eddie went to go get a drink or something, and some people showed up, and they were like, no, these are our seats. And it turns out Eddie and my dad were actually sitting way closer They were in the same section, and they moved up way closer. And it was so easy to spot Eddie just walking all the way down.
Well, Eddie has a presence.
He was rocking the Comedy Store wrestling T-shirt.
Yeah, yeah. It was interesting because I got to the seat, and the guys were like, "Were you with that other guy?" I'm like, "Yeah, I think so." They're like, "You're so the way that the SoFi is set up, section 113 is there, and then there's section 113R in front, which is like the rafters, I guess."
That place is so poorly set up. To get from one place to another was a disaster.
Yeah, it was
leaving was like a maze.
Yeah.
We spent a good 40 minutes in the lot.
And I had good. No, I mean leaving. Just the leaving.
Yeah, you have to go around the stairs.
Yeah, they take you through this maze, and you'd think with literally two. I don't think people realize two billionaires built that arena. Like it's the Rams and. The Chargers owners.
And they probably made their money back just in parking. $85 to fucking park in that place.
Well, I did the scam. I had a friend drop me off. And then I had to wait.
Now for next time, we passed a lot of $30 lots. I would absolutely park there and just Uber over or walk over. But that was fucking crazy.
You got a Lime scooter.
Well, that's anyway. A rough neighborhood, though. Yeah. Like, I know we got to talk about more current stuff. But if you go on YouTube, and I think I told you guys about this, I get no... I'm plugging this guy's page. I never met the guy. It's called Hood War Stories. And he basically does Google Earth of gang territories and little stories about each section. That whole area surrounding SoFi is Bloods and Crips.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So my buddy from Winnipeg's walking to the Sizzler where I'm walking to, and he's got Dodger gear on him. Like, bro, you better take this off because I don't know what block is what around here.
Yeah.
Or walk a foot behind me.
You make one wrong turn. But there's some big news tonight. Today is Monday. There was a Raw, and there was Triple H taking a page out of Tony Khan's book and making a huge announcement. They've been, teasing it all week. Not all week, but for a couple days. And then the announcement was that come May 27th at Night of Champions, they will crown a brand new World Heavyweight Champion. The draft will, wherever Roman Reigns ends up, which I'm guessing is SmackDown, because they made this announcement on Raw, Roman Reigns will go to whatever brand he gets drafted to with the Undisputed Universal Championship, and then the other brand will receive the Heavyweight Championship. And again, like I said, since they announced it on Raw, I feel like that's going to be on Raw. That's going to be their belt. And they're going to send Roman over to SmackDown, which is... pretty huge. They made it big deal. When the show started, they're like, Triple H is going to make an announcement that's going to shake the foundations of WWE. All right, that's setting up for big, big news, which it was. I mean, I think it's big news to finally have another championship so we don't have to wait for Roman to feel like wrestling,
I don't like two belts.
No? Well, now we have three.
But, it's a beautiful belt. To cover that, but you got WWE does not. One thing you got to give them, they do not go half ass with set design, belt design. Sure. I mean, they are the real deal. But I just think, and maybe it's my age, Hulk Hogan was the champ when I was a kid, the Ultimate Warrior after him was the champ. There was no weird secondary heavyweight championship belt to placate, number two. So I just like one belt. I know in AEW there's a zillion tag belts, because of their affiliations with certain companies. I just prefer one belt myself.
Well, they didn't have a roster of 800 superstars and so many, and I guess 5 hours of Monday and Friday television to fill, so I get it. And I think Fox really pushes them to make sure that they're the premier show, which is why Roman's been there for so long and why the title needs to be at Fox. But I think now Roman, since he never lost, he becomes the undisputed champion.
Mm-hmm.
And just, it's still going to be the highest title in the company.
I guess. Honestly, just looking at them side by side, I already feel like the Universal Championship is less than. I already feel like...
Wait, they named this one the Universal?
No, it's the World Heavyweight. I'm saying looking at the Universal, it seems less than. Because the Heavyweight, the new one, actually looks like a championship. It has that big gold feeling. The WWE Universal looks like a toy. It looks like a toy that you sell to little kids to wear the branding of the WWE logo.
It's clearly a secondary belt, just on visual alone. And I get why they do it. Like, I understand what you guys are saying.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's logistics to networks going, hey, we want to have the champion so people tune in. I get that, but I don't know.
I mean, it's also another belt that people are going to now buy, so it's something else that they're going to sell online. And I think it's kind of funny, like, the one thing they kept from this belt that the others have is the side plates. They're like, listen, we'll make some people mad. They're going to go and have to invest in a new belt, but we can't have them buy new side plates. Like, right. We got to keep the side plates in there.
Yeah.
So that's kind of funny.
I do have 5 t-shirts coming in from Pro Wrestling Tees.
How many of them are Kenny Omega?
Well, they just released another one that I'm going to have to get. Two Kenny Omegas, 2 Will Ospreys, because you never see his shirt. Not many people wear his shirts around
there. True.
And 1 Sean Spears, Giant Killer.
Oh.
But they just released one, some cartoon character and half of Omega's face. It's half the cartoon character, half the. I might. $40, though. It's a little pricey, but I'll make a move.
Jesus.
I did send them an email about my Sting shirt. They never got back to me. I mean, just
bad customer service.
It really is. But, you know, they got me by the balls. You know, I just bought 5 more shirts.
Yeah, right. All right. So real quick, since we have a new championship, let's do a quick fantasy booking. Who is the first? I mean, it seems that it's obvious that it'll be Cody. But assuming that it's not Cody, do you have somebody that you want to see as the first heavyweight champion of the world?
I mean, Cody, but if I can't vote for Cody, you know, I'm trying to think. I mean, to be honest, I really don't. Like,
you
if Vince
Cody.
Is back.
You want it on Vince?
No. If Vince is back, I can see him giving it to him. Omos. But I want Cody.
Okay. I mean, it'll probably be Cody, to be honest. But we had a match tonight on Raw, which was Cody and Finn. And when I saw Finn looking at that belt, I got goosebumps. I would love if Finn were to get his redemption from becoming Universal Champion. And then he was the first Universal Champion and got injured. I would like him to be the first heavyweight champion, but now I'm scared he might get injured.
Aren't they going to just, like, this isn't a brand new title. The heavyweight, they've had the WWE heavyweight champion before. So whoever wins this is just going to go on the net. They're going to go on the list of everybody else who's been heavyweight champion. This is not, it's a brand new look, but the heavyweight championship has been around before.
That's true.
So they're not, it's not the first ever the way the Universal was.
They just didn't present it as, like, the continuation. It felt like they were presenting a new thing.
I mean, it will be. The heavyweight champion has seen a bunch of different titles. There's no chance that this isn't a brand new belt.
The name of the big Goldie, right? The WCW belt?
The big gold one. Then there was the Eagle?
The Winged Eagle was the World Heavyweight Championship. Yeah,
so there are just certain things you have to give to a heel for bragging rights, for cheap heat. And that first in the draft thing, I think he's on his way.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. And you mentioned Omos. I don't have this in my notes, but I need to bring it up. They announced that Seth Rollins will be facing Omos at WrestleMania Backlash.
Oh, my God.
With 0 interactions.
Yeah, it doesn't. I saw that.
What
first.
The fuck?
Well, Seth Rollins was also, he posted a meme that was just like, what, the Ace Ventura already then.
Yeah, like, okay, I guess. Like, what is happening?
I mean, at first I was excited, and then I'm like, wait a minute, have they even been, like, in a commercial?
They
or
weren't
promo
even
or...
in a backstage segment or anything. Nothing. There
That's
was nothing.
That's a Vince move there. Like, gotta get a big guy in there.
Well, it's weird because the draft is happening before.
Right.
Before Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
So at this point, this is really just it's a house show for Puerto Rico. It's a big who gives a fuck. Let's just put whatever matches together that we can and call it a day. It might be more of an audition. Let's see how Omos does against smaller guys that are quick, because he's been really just put up against the big guys right now.
You can't have Rollins lose to Omos with
him. He won't. I think Rollins is going to bury him, and that's going to be the end. Send him back to NXT. There's no room for Omos on this line, on this roster.
Or in most places, because he's so big.
He's just too green. Yeah.
I mean, is there anybody in NXT right now that could maybe go up against him if they were? Because they said that in the draft, some people are going to get bumped down to NXT. Poor Dakota Kai, I think... She's heading her way down there.
Yeah. I mean, there's that Von Wagner guy. He's a big, tall dude that they seem to have their sights set on for the draft. So maybe they swap out one big guy for another. I don't like Von Wagner. He's just like zero charisma.
Yeah. No, I don't. I mean, are there guys that you think in are there guys in NXT that Omos can fight? Like,
I don't think so.
I don't think so, man. Honestly,
yeah, I mean, after Brock Lesnar, that should have been his retirement match. It's not getting bigger or better for him.
They bring back the Giant Gonzalez. Is he still alive?
No, he died a long time
ago. Okay.
I mean, with good writing, you could make him into something interesting. Like, there's definitely I think I'm of the belief with good writing, you can almost make anyone a star.
Yeah, they could salvage him. I just don't see it happening anytime soon, especially not when you're just throwing him into a match with Rollins with zero explanation or build whatsoever. You gotta,
like, put him in there with a mouthpiece. Maybe even a newer mouthpiece. I mean, there's really not any new young managers on the rise, but like, because I think people are sick of Heyman. Like,
this is Earl's pitch.
Uh-oh.
Earl's... Oh, no, I mean, but you know, I'm...
Bring in Earl. Bring him in.
Oh, my God, I would kill it in, to be Omos' main manager. Like, you know, I could get... You got to give me this. I draw heat.
He does.
Oh no, I think you would be amazing on the mic. I think you would get exactly what you need to out of every segment.
I would just say, Mr.
LeBec. But I think the problem is, okay, you talk, you're the mouthpiece for Omos. What the fuck does he do with that? Like, there's nobody.
He doesn't have to do anything.
I mean, he has to wrestle somebody.
100%, but that's where the writers come in. I can't write the product too. I can do one or the other. You know, what you do with Omos, and this is, like, I'm an older guy, so I'm going to use an older reference, Gary Hart, and I could do a very good Gary Hart impression. Maybe we bring back that. He made Abdullah the Butcher because his promo, Abdullah the Butcher couldn't talk. He had no mic skills. He would literally just stand behind Gary Hart and eat the microphone, but Gary Hart got him over. I could do that for Omos. So you've got connections.
Make it happen.
You need a new manager. People are sick of the same managers.
That's true.
Because there's no... I mean, I'm asking you more. Who is it? Like, does NXT have like a guy they're trying to make the next Stokely? Or
I don't watch enough NXT anymore. Going on. And there was a very hot rumor that was confirmed with video footage that CM Punk is backstage at Raw.
Keep him there.
I don't. What's happening? I don't care. Maybe he's just because it's Chicago. Maybe he's visiting some friends. But if there's video footage of him hanging out in the parking lot, you're being very obvious about it. Like, it's not sneaky. He's not secretly visiting friends. It's just he's there. Everybody on the internet thought that the huge announcement was going to be CM Punk, not the world championship thing. What do you guys think? I mean, do you want him in WWE?
I don't. I'm not his biggest fan, so I know there's rumors also that would be the London main event in AEW. You know,
right? Yeah.
But I don't want to see that. Like, all you take away Punk, everyone else in that potential matchup can wrestle and do spots. You know, I know because he obviously has FTR. You could limit his physical stuff that he has to do, but you know, you got to figure it would be Omega and Punk,
right?
And I don't want to see Omega wasted.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't mind if he went to WWE. And if he stays in AEW, you know, you draw heat with a real-life angle, but I don't know how...
The problem is he's not going to want to lose. He's not coming back to WWE to lose. So he doesn't play ball. He doesn't play ball the way that everybody else does. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, and he doesn't want to lose. So it's very difficult for people to want to work with him knowing that the only outcome is they put in all this work, they can actually wrestle, they're going to have to carry the match, and he's going to refuse to win.
And I get that from his side of this. Like, you're an established guy. You don't want a job.
You already jobbed in the UFC, so.
Well, no, that wasn't jobbing. That was just losing. And I'll give him balls for, you know, Mickey Gall, who he got killed by. He's a legit fighter. I'll give him this. He wasn't taking on scrubs.
Right.
But.
Well, we'll see. There's also the rumor that, you know, if he stays with AEW, that Jericho wants to mend the fences. But the Bucks and Omega have clearly stated they do not want to work with him.
Is that true? I have not seen that.
Yeah.
It's a work.
It could be a work, but...
You think 9/11's a work.
It might be.
I mean, I didn't see any evidence. I listened to Jesse Ventura. Oh,
well, there you go. I mean...
No, but apparently the Bucks and Kenny have stated they don't want anything to do with Punk, which is why they want to bring in this new show on Saturday to kind of do their own brand split so they can have Punk on TV and not have him interact with the Bucks and Kenny. So Jericho has stepped forward and saying, fine, I'll work with Kenny. He'll go to the show on Saturday and work with, not Kenny, sorry. He'll go and work with CM Punk on the Saturday show. But it's just weird.
But isn't, I guess I don't understand the logic. Doesn't the show, don't they all get taped on the same night? Yeah. How is that?
Well, if they, theoretically, this new show would be taped separately, I guess. I mean,
you could keep them all on the same, on the same show and not have them interact or fight each other, but.
Just having them in the same building, we're just going to get more.
But that's going to happen anyway, because isn't this Saturday show 1 hour?
I guess.
Or two? Like, what do you... What's, it's a CM Punk show. His promos are an hour.
I did find it funny, though, because of the hockey and basketball playoffs, Rampage was on Saturday night, and it was clearly the Wednesday night's crowd. So I get it. You're doing it to save money. It's easy for us to say, yeah, just film another night. Just a couple hundred grand.
But it's also because you don't want to have a bunch of people spend all that money driving, parking, right, all that for a 1 hour show.
But they could at least move the audience around, like maybe bring in a few people from the Colonnade to sit in front or something where it's not the same guy.
WWE even did that for the Hall of Fame, because the Hall of Fame used to be its own night.
Right.
They used to rent out the venue. Now they do it right after SmackDown that Friday night. They go live on Peacock. And they clear people. I don't know what the deal is on the tickets, but there were people that were clearly in the front row for SmackDown. And then for the Hall of Fame, they removed those people and put in the families of the people that were being inducted.
What, you mean the guy with the pink Macho Man shirt wasn't allowed to stay for the Hall of Fame ceremony?
Maybe the guy with the big green neon green shirt that's always in the front row at WWE with the smiley face. That guy, the lottery winner.
Although I will say, it popped into my YouTube feed today, and I forgot how funny it was when Rick Rude's kid inducted him into the Hall. It was really funny. Like, he started imitating his dad, and like, I don't know how he didn't get into wrestling. Like, he's a giant dude, and his Rick Rude's daughter is beautiful. Like, I'm surprised they didn't, I don't know, do something there, but.
Sometimes kids don't want to follow in their parents' footsteps. I don't know.
Well, that's what made the promo so funny. Was you could tell he was a little not rehearsed, scared, but like you could tell he was a little nervous. And you know, here he's trying to imitate his dad, who, if anything, Rick Rude's promos convey as, "Hey, I'm not nervous, you fat slob." And so when he's calling the audience fat, you could tell he didn't want to say it.
There's some other smaller bits of news that have been circulating that I want to talk about. Mercedes Moné is no longer the IWGP Women's Champion, which is weird because I figured she'd have a long run because she was talking about moving to Japan and all this stuff. But she dropped it at Stardom and then quickly announced that she will be at the New Japan show here in Long Beach on May 21st at the Walter Pyramid. I kind of want to go to that.
I would go to that. I've been to a basketball game there. It's a kind of a mini Luxor in Vegas.
Like, yeah.
It's an interesting...
I saw the Kenny Omega and Ibushi, the Golden Lovers, versus the Young Bucks there. That was a fucking killer match. I'll hit up Rocky. We'll see what we can do. But but it's interesting to me that she dropped the belt already. I think this was her first defense, if not her second defense. Like, they were trying to build her up as this massive star, and you already have her losing. That's a little weird.
Well, I mean, I will say AEW has some big cards coming up that they're going to need that oh my God surprise.
Yeah, they're going to need her at Forbidden Door, probably. Hopefully.
All or Nothing is the next pay per view.
All or Nothing or All In? I don't know what it is.
I thought it was All
Double
or Nothing.
Double or Nothing. Double or Nothing is what it's called.
And then Forbidden Door, too. And then you've got the big London card. Now, that's not till August, but like. You're going to have to start throwing out little tidbits. Oh, maybe this is happening in London.
I just think it's weird. Such a big star, having her drop the belt on a show that, you know, and no offense to Stardom, but not a lot of people are watching that. It's more like, you know, the hardcore fans are watching that. So you would think if she was going to drop her title, she'd do it at a big pay-per-view, at a, you know, maybe, I don't know, the G1 Classic or the, you know, Wrestle Kingdom, something like that. But just in some random stardom, I don't know. It felt weird. And we'll see. Hopefully she makes another pivot, maybe goes to AEW. That would be fun to see.
Because they're, you know, they're really building up Taya in AEW, so... Yeah. Jade Cargill. I mean, they've got a lot of good women in AEW.
I'm upset about that, too. That title match with Taya and Jade is on a Dynamite. Why is that not a pay-per-view?
Well, that's the problem when you only have four pay-per-views a year.
That's true.
I don't think that the writing's creative enough in AEW, and I say that as a total AEW mark, to have a long, long storyline. They have kind of rushed their... The promos seem like, okay, we got to just get this, you know, we got to get this match in. We can't wait till the pay-per-view. So I think with better writing, you could, you know, do little vignettes and snippets where you almost are putting the carrot in front of the horse. And so I agree with you. I do think it should be a pay-per-view. But maybe it's a quick match. It's a screw job ending. And that's...
And leads into a pay-per-view. Yeah, that could be it.
I also think they're just eager to... Like, for me, there are portions of some storylines that just drag on, and I think they're eager to get ratings. They're still in that part of their existence where the ratings matter, where, like, WWE goes up, down, but they've shown their consistency over a long period of time. AEW has shown up for big things and then completely just dying the week after. So I think dragging out the stories is going to be a lot of weeks where stuff is not... they're not getting ratings.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I mean, I'm going to watch, obviously, so it's working.
Sure. But I'd like to see Mercedes against either one. Like,
yeah, that'd be great.
You know, either one would be great. I mean, Jade's growing on me. Like, you know, she's got an amazing body. Like,
well, after 50-something matches, you would think she'd be, you know, getting a little bit better in the ring. Because she was very green in the first 20 matches. She's still arguably kind of green, but... But, you know, after 50-something matches, even if they're all squashes, you still get to, you develop a little bit. Another piece of news that came out, Ted DiBiase Jr. facing decades in prison, 6 counts of wire fraud and 4 counts of money laundering and stealing around $77 million from needy families. Money that was supposed to go to, you know, people that needed it for food and clothing, and the million-dollar posse has fucked up. I don't know what to tell you.
Give some of that money to Virgil. If you've seen some recent Virgil videos,
he's not doing great.
Give that guy a few bucks, man. Now, is this the same one? Because I noticed it's the same amount where Brett Favre's involved.
Maybe. There's like three of them. It's Ted DiBiase Jr., his dad, the million-dollar man, and I guess, yeah.
This is karma for the million-dollar man, for all that trash you talked about, the Ultimate Warrior and what a dick he was. Like, you see the Ultimate Warrior ripping off? Well, he did have Warrior University. Never mind. Let's get to the next subject.
Yeah. Yeah, he was. That's not into his personal politics.
I'm a graduate of Warrior University.
Other news that couldn't be fake or, you know, just fed news from Meltzer and all that, but it has been spoken of, is that Warner Brothers Discovery is interested in the licensing rights for Monday Night Raw and WWE, which is kind of a problem considering that that's where AEW lives. So I don't know how that's going to work, how they're going to have the competition under the same umbrella. I mean,
it's not competition right now because they're on different nights anyway. So I think they would just be cornering the wrestling market. And their only competition would be within them. Like, WWE would be competing with themselves on Fox for the most part.
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting move by Warner Brothers. I, as a fan, do not care. I think, cool. Wherever, just make it easier for me to watch wrestling. As it is right now, I don't have television. I don't have cable or whatever. I use the internet. So for, like, Raw and SmackDown, I tend to use an illegal stream sometimes because it's just easier than having to figure out how the fuck do I watch USA with no cable, you know? And it's not because I'm poor, by the way. I just don't watch enough. I'm not home enough to watch TV.
That's the opposite problem for me.
Yeah. I mean, I just, you know, I don't know what to do, but illegal streams is my methods. But if the Warner Brothers people put it on like Max or whatever it is that I have Max, I'll watch that. I don't know. We'll see. Should be. I would like a revamp of the WWE Network. Get it away from Peacock. After that, the last piece of news I have is Goldberg has announced that he's mad at Vince McMahon for not giving him a, you know, the retirement match that he was promised. Apparently, after losing to Roman, he was promised a, you know, all the fanfare of a proper retirement match. Never got it. Vince is out, supposedly. So Goldberg's a little pissed, but he announced that he just wants to do a four-city retirement tour. And probably one of those cities will be an AEW show. And it seems like they're pushing for Goldberg versus Wardlow.
I mean, I'm assuming Wardlow would win.
I would hope so. Because, again, retirement matches traditionally are you lose. You go out on your back. But I don't know. It's Goldberg.
So I'd like to see. I mean, I'm assuming it would be on a pay-per-view. That would sell a few extra tickets. Not a lot, but.
You don't think that'll be Wembley?
Maybe. Territory? You know, I mean, I would love it if it was MJF who ruined him or retired him. You know, that would be pretty, because you know that promo would be great.
Earl really supports the Jew on Jew crowd.
But think about it, though. You know that would be part of the promo. Hey, I'm Jew boy in this organization, Goldberg.
Like, I can imagine. Yeah, I can imagine like MJF doing like Shiva for Goldberg, sitting Shiva in the ring.
That'd be funny. But Goldberg strikes me as the type of guy who's not really down.
He's not going to go into it. Like, you and I can make jokes about being Jews, but like, I would be okay with it. But I don't think Goldberg is.
He's pretty militant.
Yeah. But I don't think he's into that jokey shit.
Yeah, I mean, and I could see MJF, you know, I don't know this to be true, but you could. We're all energy readers. He's probably a pretty cocky guy, you know, in real life. He'd be like, I'm not fucking doing anything with this old Jew. it's either my way or you can have him battle, you know, one of the Young Bucks on Rampage. So I don't know who I'd like to see. I mean, Wardlow, it just doesn't do a lot for me.
It's just that they want Wardlow because technically Wardlow is Goldberg. He has the same type of entrance where he's coming in from the back. Even the chant, the Wardlow, that's the old Goldberg chant. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's why maybe pass the torch to Wardlow from Goldberg.
Are we going to get two identical entrances? Oh, AEW would definitely do that.
Probably.
I mean, who else could, you know? I mean, I'm sure they would toss around Goldberg and Sting just because it's two names.
Sure.
I mean, you're going to need some, like, interesting matches in London to fill a 90,000-seat arena. Not that that's going to, you know, put in a quarter of the crowd, but it is a name, two names. You're going to need that.
I feel like people out there and it will get excited for just to see Goldberg in the building. You know?
Yeah, I mean, and he does have a cool entrance, but you know, can AEW, you know, once again WWE and their money and how they do a live event is you can't beat it. Like, it's just so I'm curious as to how AEW, who it's not actually a penny pinching company, but they're clearly behind WWE in production.
Sure.
So yeah. I don't know if it would be quite as cool.
But. Yep. Well, I mean, in terms of news, that's all. I added here, are you and I going to TJ to see Kenny Omega versus Hijo del Vikingo?
I told you guys this on Instagram. It might be the first time I would go to Tijuana for non-sexual reasons.
I would be totally down to drive to TJ to see. I've never been to a AAA show. And it's at a really cool stadium, and it's Triple Mania, I think it is.
So I would go to that.
It's their big show. So.
I would not drive my car inside the border of Tijuana.
I'll do it. I'll drive us.
Okay.
I'll drive us.
I'm good. We've been to a wrestling event in your car before.
Yeah.
If your car gets stolen,
I'll
help you out.
It'll be fine. Yeah, but let's do it. I mean, I've never been to a AAA show, and it's not that far of a drive. And Kenny Omega versus Hijo del Vikingo will be a ridiculous match anyway. So
yeah, I mean, he's who do they have Omega against this week? Isn't he fighting someone? It's kind of a weird. I thought I saw a promo for him. It's like a weird, didn't make a lot of sense. But
I don't know if it's Drillistico. No.
Well, yes, we will. Me and Eddie. And John, you're more than welcome to join us to go to Tijuana.
Hey, you want
to
go to Tijuana with us?
I think I'm good.
You're not going to see Omega?
I'm good.
I got to, you know.
I'll see him at the forum.
Because one of the t-shirts I bought is very cool. It's Omega has the Terminator. Like, I'm going to wear that shit on the main stage.
Yeah, I don't see any. We'll
okay,
look it
I thought I saw a promo.
But so instead of topic, we have the upcoming draft this Friday. I figured we'd do a quick little mock draft. We're not going to go through all the names. There's way too many fucking names. But I made a small list. No, it's a pretty long list. But I made a list of like the more popular names. And I want us to guess where they go and who their first feud will be on that show. Or who are they going to, yeah, who's the first? Because supposedly this is being billed as Triple H's official kickstart of the new era. This is now Triple H taking over everything and, you know, everything's going to be different. So I want to know where they're going to go, what show, SmackDown or Raw, or maybe NXT, and who their first feud will be. And I'll start, we'll start small. I put the biggest name on top, but we'll start at the bottom here. Street Profits. I personally feel like they're going to split them up finally because this has been teased for a very long time. Montez Ford having his little solo run or Dawkins having a solo run. So my pick for the Street Profits is that they'll split them up. We'll have maybe Montez Ford on Raw and Dawkins on SmackDown. Earl?
I would like to see that because I think it'd be good. You know, their promo at WrestleMania was a little rough. I noticed they botched a few words, and so, you know, they kind of went through the motions on their promo, I thought. So I would like, you know, maybe a little time apart, and then at the pay-per-view in a couple months, the reunion or something of that. Or maybe they're against each other at the so I'd like to see them split up.
Okay.
It's time.
John?
No, they're staying together. I think they're going to they're going to be on SmackDown.
Okay. Becky Lynch. I don't know. She might leave to AEW. She hasn't been very happy. She hasn't been on TV. Her Twitter is blacked out, kind of like Drew McIntyre did. Who knows?
Wait, doesn't she have? Isn't she currently fighting with Trish? What's going on?
That she was mad that Trish turned on Lita, made her lose the belts. But yeah, she was.
It's a work.
It might be a work, but she was mad something about Rollins. Becky was pissed off about something that happened with Seth Rollins.
Oh, and probably when he got his promo changed to like a commercial break a few weeks ago.
Yeah. Well, wasn't she mad that Vince was back too?
There's that too. All the women are mad. All of the women are very upset that Vince is.
To be honest with you, WWE is not exactly known for being female.
Somebody doesn't want to be in a pillow fight match.
Yeah. I mean, it is pretty crazy. You go back to some of those.
It's wild what he was having them do.
Because I think that's what. I saw some shoot interview with Sting when they were like, why didn't you ever go to WWE for that big Undertaker match? And, you know, he's like a reborn Christian or something. And he's like, I wasn't comfortable with some of the storylines they were doing. Without saying it, he's like, I can't.
Yeah.
The bra and panties match or the puppies or
whatever. Edge and Lita fucking on TV.
Yeah, that was wild. I remember like, that
or,
one.
Or was it Kane in a dead body at the cemetery? like.
My mother walked in while I was watching that, the Edge and Lita. She's like, are you watching porn? I'm like, no, it's wrestling.
Mark Henry impregnating and, you know, 90-year-old Mae Young. And
oh, my God.
Still my favorite promo when the doctor pulls out the hand. Oh, my God.
All right. Honestly, I don't care where Becky goes. I don't want her to go away. So keep her on Raw. Have her feud with, I don't know. Or, you know what? Send her over to, she's been on Raw. Send her to SmackDown and have her feud with Rhea, but have Rhea go over on that.
See, I think Rhea's going to Raw, and Becky and Bianca's going to SmackDown, and they're gonna have to do that in-ring trading of the belts.
Ugh, I don't like that.
They kind of love doing that.
Yeah, that's true. All right, Earl, you don't care.
Oh,
about
I
Becky
mean,
Lynch.
I mean, she just seems unhappy. You know, I'm sure they're mad at her for being unhappy and being semi-vocal about it. So I'll say SmackDown.
Okay, all right.
They'll bury her.
I'm not going to go through this whole list. There's way too many people.
Why not?
Here, but
I mean,
we're here for 2 more hours.
But add a few hundred more names.
Liv and Raquel, do we think that they stay as the champs, or do you split them up?
They're staying the champs, and they're staying on SmackDown. They need some work.
Yeah.
I don't think they're ready for a Monday Night Raw. You know, that's still the flagship show. But I love it when they split teams up.
They weren't really a team either. They were just kind of like haphazardly put together. So splitting them up is just kind of been like, all right, whatever. But yeah, if you keep them together, give them a theme. I don't know. It'd be cool to see them do more because they're great, and you know we love them here at the Comedy Store. But I don't know. I don't think the split would be a good move either. So we'll see. Brock Lesnar. What do we do with Brock?
He's going to be wherever they need him. He'll be jumping from show to show.
You think so? You don't think they're
drafted?
Okay. I mean, his face is on the poster.
Yeah, but whose face was at the WrestleMania on the wall of you know, those the flashing ads, and they weren't even on WrestleMania. It wasn't LA Knight.
LA Knight.
LA Knight. It was a female. It was a female who they kept really seeming to promote. You know, on those flashing ads, but she wasn't even on the card. Night two.
Oh, it's probably Alexa.
Oh yeah, Alexa wasn't there. Yeah.
They really buried her too. Like she's just kind of like.
Well, she had cancer, so they she had skin cancer, so she was recovering from that.
I'm surprised they didn't work that into an angle.
Yeah,
right. Oh, they will when she gets back. She just has to be medically cleared.
Yeah, she has to come back for it.
But I've had the same operation she had. It's literally the same thing, and I didn't. I don't know that. I mean, it wasn't that long of a recovery process. They get rid of it, it's just...
Well, she was also on that Masked Singer. She was.
Well, I think also she was getting ready for a story with Howdy and Bray Wyatt, and now Bray is out with a health issue, and maybe now they're just trying to figure out what to do with her.
Oh, maybe, because it's really not that... You know, once they get all the... You know, basically, they just dig into your forehead or wherever her cancer was. I think it was somewhere on her face. Mm. And once it's out, it's like the only recovery is the scar.
Yeah.
So it doesn't quite add up.
Well, all right. So John thinks that Brock doesn't get drafted. But where would we like to see Brock go after Cody? Because obviously, I think Cody wins this feud.
Yeah.
So what do we do with Brock? I mean, I feel like he's close to not having any kind of...
Well, I would keep him on Raw, and I would have him go with Rollins for a little bit.
Hmm. Okay.
I mean, right now, Brock reminds me, ironically, of the first guy to beat him in the UFC, Frank Mir.
Oh.
Who is a gatekeeper. You know, Frank, you know, he was a UFC heavyweight champ. He got in a horrible motorcycle accident, and then he just became the guy you put up who you wanted to get over. So I think Brock will... But he doesn't like to lose. So, it's hard to put him up against, you know, like the rumors of him and Bray Wyatt at WrestleMania. He didn't want to lose, you know, according to some sources. So it's like, you know, who is he going to want to lose to? You got to figure.
He lost to Roman like 18 times last year. They had 85 matches. He lost all of them.
Yeah.
To the point where he can't challenge for the title anymore.
It's crazy.
So I can't imagine. He just strikes me as the type that I'm not losing to Cody. But you have to have Cody win. Like you can't bury him again.
I mean, unless they do something where like Brock just gets disqualified and just beats the shit out of Cody again, throws a table on him, buries him literally.
There's that. I think he'll lose to Cody and then go after Gunther, and we'll finally get that Brock Gunther.
Who the fuck wants to see Brock Gunther?
I want to see that.
Brock and Gunther would make Omos and Lesnar seem like Omega and Vikingo. Like, that's not... I don't think anyone wants to see that.
I want to see that match. When I saw them stare at each other at the
rumble. Suplex chop. It'll be the same 3 moves the entire match, and that'll be the end of it.
No sell, you know, suplex city, no sell city. Like, Lesnar's not the best seller, to be honest with you.
There's matches like Brock and AJ was pretty good, and he sold for AJ. I don't know. I think you guys are overlooking what a potential match that could be. I saw the sparks when they faced each other at the Rumble. I would like to see that.
I don't think Gunther's ready for that. Depending on the outcome, like, you know, if Lesnar wants to do the job, that puts Gunther over big time. Because Gunther's not quite over just yet, in my opinion. Like, he's almost there.
Yeah, he's almost there.
He needs that one big, he beat this person. And Lesnar's definitely, but, you know, Lesnar losing, like John said, 1,000 times in a row. You know, Lesnar's invincibility is kind of faded.
Right.
So, who knows?
We'll see. I'm going to get rid of this name. All right. Bobby Lashley. I'm going to put Bobby Lashley and Austin Theory in the same conversation because they're still feuding for the United States Championship. Do you want to see Austin Theory continue to hold that United States Championship?
I do, but I think I think he's going down an identical path to Cena. He's going to SmackDown. He's going to build his reputation on SmackDown, and then when they're ready and they build him into the star he's supposed to be, he'll be back on Raw. But I think he's going to go to SmackDown. Lashley's going to probably stay on Raw.
Yeah. Listen, this idea just popped into my head. You team Lashley with Omos, the Brothers of Destruction.
Oh, boy.
And guess who would be their heel manager?
Oh, boy.
Seriously. No, I mean...
As long as you come out and do your best, my brother.
Gary Hart, man. I'll shave my head and grow a stash. My brother. They say the bigger they are, the harder they fall. My brothers.
Oh, boy.
There have been... What the hell do you call the Nation of Domination? Maybe the most racially sensitive... Like, four black guys with the... You know, the power.
Four black guys and The Rock.
Yeah.
Jesus.
So, I mean, listen, Triple H, if you're out there, you know, WWE people do listen to this.
Oh, yeah.
Don't they?
They do, but it's they're not taking...
They're not taking our suggestions.
Yeah, well, maybe you should. The ratings would be higher.
Well, look, by the way, The Rock is African American.
Yeah,
however... Owen Hart was in the Nation.
Oh, that's true.
So don't sit there and go, Brothers of Destruction, come Woo! On. Junkyard Dog was carried to the ring in a dog collar.
Yeah, that was rough.
What?
Yeah. I'd like to see Bobby Lashley go away from where he is now and just start something else. He's on Raw, so...
I don't know where anybody is.
They're that's the other thing that makes us tough.
I hate seeing Bobby Lashley every week on Raw, but I guess that's where he belongs. So we get some kind of big guys on there.
Yeah. I mean, it is. You know, I talked about good writing can make anyone a star. Like, his body is unbelievable.
Yeah,
sure.
And the look, the shaved eyebrows or whatever's going on with his eyebrows. I don't know if he has alopecia, and I'm not, you know, he's got some weird, some nights they're not there. So he is kind of like a.
Just some nights.
Well, no, I don't know if he does it on purpose or if he has alopecia, which I'm not making fun of. But, you know, he's got a great look. Like, looks-wise, you talk about a guy who should have a manager. Like, he should be of that Goldberg just monster, just
dominator. Well, he did that. He did that with MVP for a bit. I mean, when MVP was his manager, that was great.
He needs something because there's no way. He's got the skills. He's a legit wrestler. But he's so bad on the mic, he makes like Lance Storm seem like Ric Flair at high tide. Like,
I mean, not even it's like, yeah, when he talks, it's bad, but just like the charisma, everything is drained.
It's just puzzling.
Even when his entrance, when he does his like arm stretching thing, it's like, this is not somebody who's excited to be here at all, or that I'm going to be excited to watch walk down a ramp now.
But that's where, like, it's one of the few good things toward the end WCW did was, you know, they turned Lance Storm's lack of charisma into his shtick was, if I can be serious for a minute, because he was so boring.
Yeah.
If they did, they got to have good writers up there at Stamford, Connecticut. Like, just get them all in a room and go, all right, let's spitball on Bobby Lashley. He should be the man here, but he's not for some reason. Because, you know, looks-wise, and he's a good wrestler. You know, he's power move city, but he's pretty nimble. Like, it's just puzzling to me why he hasn't elevated to that superstar status.
They were on a roll with him when he was with MVP in the Hurt Business, and he became world champ. Like, I thought that was the best he's looked in my eyes. Because I didn't really catch him when he was in the early days of, you know, when he was in WWE. So I don't know. I thought that was good. They should do more of that. I know where John sits on this, but Judgment Day, do you want them to split them up?
Unless you're giving everyone a title. I mean, yes, I want them to split them up because I hate them in general. But it looks weird that Rhea is just the best out of the group.
Yeah.
And these are supposed to be some of the best superstars, with the exception of Dominic. Like, Damian Priest is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Finn Balor is awesome. Unless you're giving Finn the title, and then you're going to have one of the two, either the SmackDown or the Raw titles taken from KO and Sammy, that's probably the only way you're going to get all of the titles in there. You give Finn the new one, they take half the tag team titles. But to have Rhea be the one that walks around with the title, and then these four guys that are supposed to be like...
Three guys
that are supposed to be like the future of the industry. It's like, this is... That's not a good look.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Speaking of that, the Sammy and KO situation, I mean, do we split those belts? Do we introduce new tag belts?
I think there's going to be another tag belt released. Unless they're just going to defend two in one night, which can explain why they lose one. Like, we just got out of a match, we're fighting another one. That's how I would go with that.
Yeah, well, they have to split it. And also, do they merge Roman's belts, or is he going to keep walking out with two belts? Because that's
I think they're going to merge it into... I think it'll probably just be the black belt.
Mm. All right. Well, I don't want Judgment Day to break up. I'd like to see, like what you said, I'd like to see all of them with some gold. I don't know about you.
I'd like to see them all with gold. I mean, I don't know what Dominic would get. Like,
tag him up with Damien.
I mean, that's what they're doing in Puerto Rico.
I love Damien. Like, he's grown on me, almost like Jade has. Like, you know, I wasn't really into him, but, you know, there's something. He has it. You know, we talk about Lashley not having it for whatever reason. He's got it. Like, I don't know what it is. It's maybe it's just his sheer size, or he seems to relish playing a heel. So
I'm actually, as much as I dislike Judgment Day for being like this random offshoot that was supposed to be led by Edge, that just fell to shit. It is helping everybody except Finn. I don't think Finn. I think Finn is the least benefiting from this. He's sort of losing to everybody, singles and tag matches. Dominic, I think, became a new person through it. Damian Priest, I think, became a new person through it.
Rhea as well.
Rhea is the champion now. I think Finn lost the most, and the other three gained it. So it did help a majority of the people in that group. I just think Finn needs to get the fuck out of there and grab a title.
Yeah, hopefully I would split Finn out of the Judgment Day and just rebuild him up again and let Rhea and Dominic and Priest continue the Judgment Day somewhere. LA Knight, where do we want him?
Raw.
As a champion, who's his first feud?
I mean, if I'm booking his first feud, it has to be a feud where because remember, you're starting from scratch now, so we're starting a brand new show for Monday and Friday. You put him with somebody that, sort of what you did with Xavier Woods, no matter who wins, everybody wins. Mm-hmm. And sort of like, can we, just to shout this out randomly, because I am going to, I think his first feud needs to be him and Seth Rollins.
Oh.
And the reason I say that is because Seth Rollins and The Miz had one of the best matches I'd seen in a long time.
Yeah, that was a good match.
Yeah, like not enough people are talking about Seth Rollins and The Miz as a random, sort of like Seth Rollins and Omos. Seth Rollins and The Miz came out of nowhere. Nobody knew what the fuck was going on. Why are these two fighting each other? And then it was one of the best matches Raw has seen in a while. So I feel like Seth Rollins, whether he wins or loses to LA Knight, they both come out looking good because they can both go. And yep, they're both on the mic. The mic exchange would be amazing.
Do you think we go babyface LA Knight or...
No, babyface Seth Rollins.
Babyface Seth Rollins.
Yeah. LA Knight's getting the Roman treatment. He's going to become babyface by the decision of the fans.
Mm, okay.
I mean, I like LA Knight better as a heel. He just seems to be a natural heel. I don't know. I wouldn't mind down the road an LA Knight Cody.
Ooh.
You know, because Cody is like the perfect face. Like, he's just...
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, he's better as a face to me than a heel, and I think LA Knight's the opposite. So, I think they'd some, you know, just because of who Cody's dad is, I think it gives Knight a plethora of material to work off of. You know, you're never as good as your dad was. You know, blah, blah, blah. You got killed at WrestleMania. Like, I just see, like, a lot of interesting promos between those two.
Yeah, I'd actually even like to see LA Knight and Miz go at it. But that after, like, later.
Yeah, I'd like I think once LA Knight takes a face turn. I think if Miz by some chance gets a face turn, he becomes champion again. After that Seth Rollins match, I was reading Twitter, which I try to avoid, but I like to see what people think about a match right after it happens. Not a single person had a single bad thing to say about the Miz.
Yeah.
Other than he's underrated as somebody on the main roster.
He needs one last good run before he just kind of leaves.
No, none of this 1 week transitional bullshit they did for Bobby Lashley. He needs one good title run. 6 months. Give him 6 months. Him, Ziggler, like Corbin, I think is going to have I think Corbin's going to be another one that this draft is the starting point of Corbin's new push.
I would put, I don't have Corbin on the list. I would send Corbin NXT.
They might.
Just to make him the world champion there, you know?
They might just to get him some wins.
Yeah.
Like, because of all the losses, it might be to the point where his storyline is, let me start from scratch. Let me go back to NXT. He starts getting wins, and then he comes back to the main roster and just destroys people.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I'd like that. And Cody, I have a feeling, stays on Raw and becomes a new heavyweight champion. I feel like that's just what's going to happen. You agree?
I need to feel like he actually earned it. And I think everything I'm seeing now, it feels like if he wins it, it's all part of the contract where he has to be champion. I would rather him lose a title opportunity. He can't get that final thing checked off his list. And then there's a big match, probably SummerSlam, where he finally wins it.
Also, continuing, you know, in that sense of, you know, vein of the new heavyweight world champion, do we want a tournament? How do we crown the new champ?
I mean, there's a good chance we keep hearing about King of the Ring.
Well, they're saying that it's going to happen at Night of Champions.
But it's King of the
King and so Queen of the Ring.
They were talking about that as its own pay per view. Now it could end up being a Raw SmackDown thing.
True. Yeah, they canceled King of the Ring. That was going to be in Saudi, and now Night of Champions took that date in Saudi. So that's not happening anymore as a pay per view. But yeah, they could do King of the Ring on
Night of Champions, and Sami Zayn can't defend. How insane is that?
Tells you who's losing the championship at Backlash, or what is it? Friday on SmackDown.
No, I don't think he's going to lose before then.
If he can't defend.
Are they not defending in Puerto Rico?
I don't know. They haven't announced the match for Puerto Rico. The match right now is Friday at SmackDown against the Usos.
I don't think the Usos are winning.
It would make more sense story-wise if they do lose. Because Jay, this Monday, was already, you know, kind of showing hints of like, I don't know if we're going to win. So if that could be good for the breakup, eventual breakup. But I don't know. The fact that they're having something in Saudi called Night of Champions tells me that Sammy's not going to be champion by then.
Or that's where they introduce the new tag titles.
Or that too. Yeah.
That's kind of shitty.
Yeah.
I'm so over the Saudi shit.
Yep. So what happens? Okay, finally, last thing. Bloodline. Obviously, I think Roman goes to SmackDown. But do we see a split? Do we see the Usos break up or away from the Bloodline? Do we see Solo go solo? Like, what are we predicting for that?
I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing Solo going, I'm sick of helping everyone. I think it's his time to, like, shine a little bit and not be the sidekick. And, you know, I think if he did something where he's like, I made you Roman, I made you Usos, you know, and he goes kind of rogue.
That'd be cool. I'm honestly very impressed with Solo. They've done a great job with him. His entrance is amazing. I've actually been listening to his fucking entrance song when I work out now because it just pumps me up. I don't know. I think he is the next big Samoan. I think he'll eventually reach the heights of a Roman, but not right now, but in a few years, maybe 6 years, 5 years.
He's great. I really notice when he says nothing with the facial expressions, like that mean, like, almost like how Mr. T was in Rocky III, where he didn't have a lot of dialogue, but like the facial expression, he sells it.
Yeah.
So I think he's ready. Like this, like I agree it won't be like in the next 3 months, but he's the next, I think, breakout person, I think, in the company, like if they write it correctly for him.
Yeah. John?
I don't have high hopes for Solo for another few years, but yeah. I do think that the bloodline is going with Roman, and we're going to see Jay versus Roman for the title at some point.
Hmm. Okay.
I mean, that's what they're building towards. Everything I'm seeing is building towards a Roman return. He's going to return whatever, next week to 2 weeks. The Usos won't have the title back. Things are going to continue to shatter.
Yeah.
I think eventually Jay's going to go after that title again.
Cool. All right. Well, next week we can do our Backlash predictions because the pay-per-view will be coming up that week. But that'll do it for this week. This Wednesday, come hang out with me and the War Master Josh Barnett at Grilla Mall in Alhambra. We're going to do a live podcast. He's going to do a meet and greet, which I don't know if you know this. Josh doesn't do meet and greets. I convinced him to do this because of the beer. I'm like, you need to whore yourself out a little bit for this beer, man. So I'm going to need you to do a meet and greet. So Josh doesn't really do these. You're going to have a chance to meet him, get your picture, get him to sign something. UFC champion, still the youngest UFC heavyweight champion. You know, pride champ. The accolades are there on the internet. Go find him. Go meet him. Meet me if you're a fan of the show and you want to come say what's up. I'll be there with him. And other than that, please follow me at RRBG Podcast for all the other things. Earl?
I might come heckle you guys.
Come hang. Please.
Hey, Barnett, you pussy, and then run out. yes, come to that Wednesday. That's, you know, Eddie and Josh. It's a big deal to have your own beer out there. And, like, booze is a tough market to, like, get your foot in the door, and you guys have done a great job. So I'll be there. You guys should be too. At Earl Skakel everywhere, inappropriate Earl. And if you want to come to the Comedy Store, if you're LA native or you're going to be in town, just DM me on the gram, and I'll make sure you're well taken care of.
Oh, there you go. John.
Comedy Store Studios and Say It Ain't Sosis on Instagram.
There it is. His personal Instagram is now out in the world. We've refrained from giving it out, but now you have it. Yes, please, tune in next week. Thank you for listening. See you then.